You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Sam Claiborne,
Aye.
And CJ Gibson.
What's happening? Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Sorry we left you guys hanging for a week, but I feel refreshed and ready to go.
A bunch of people didn't know what had happened, but we talked about it on the show.
Which outs you for not actually listening to the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Now I know which of you don't listen to the full show.
And did you maybe tweet about it too or anything?
Nope. Just said it on the show.
Oh, just
but I was tweeting photos.
Well, yeah, exactly. We were clearly having a nice vacation.
You did that thing to that tree.
You did. I noticed that one.
The tree was asking for it. We got a great show for you this week. We got to talk about Super Mario Maker 2. There's just so much to talk about with that game. We're going to take a look through the Volume 2 of the SNES Omnibus.
Nice. If you're just listening online, can we hear the sound of that book on the table?
Here,
hang on. Create some space.
That's okay. Pretty good.
Yeah, nice. I think that came through.
Are we still rolling?
This is in.
Did it shut down?
This is letters N through Z.
The good letters.
Oh. No, that's right. I mean, yeah, you get all the super games in there. So, yeah.
It's interesting because on this monitor, you look a lot like Casey and you look a lot like Tom. See that?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's true.
I'll roll with that.
But first.
Why is NVC up there?
It's okay.
Do we need to be worried about that?
No, we're good. We're good.
It's another show. All right, but first, let's share what we've been playing. Rage 2 is out this week.
Rage.
Dan Stapleton reviewed it, gave it an eight flat, a great flat, I believe.
Yeah.
I've played 30 minutes of it, and so that qualifies me to concur with his review. Mm-hmm. Expert.
The intro is all just, it's like kind of scripted stuff, and then it's like, here's the open world.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice, because you get to the open world really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the scripted stuff is not indicative of what the game is.
Not being rude, by the way, I got on my phone to double check the name of the game I've been playing.
Oh,
Rage 2.
Turns out it's Rage 2.
So I don't have a whole lot to say about Rage 2, but I do like it so far. I think the gunplay feels really nice.
Yes.
And we got to see a bunch of late game stuff in the office here.
Just people playing
the guides
it.
Team and the review and stuff. And there's a really great flying machine that I recommend you go for from the start of the game. We have a page on it.
We have a page on where to find the flying machine?
That's the idea, right? Is that if you're going to do a thing first, we have a things to do first page, which is really good. But there's a whole thing about the flying machine on it.
Mm. Nice.
And it looks really good. And it's on the Just Cause engine. So it's like the game.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
But. No, I'm just saying that it's very vertical. And so
gotcha.
A lot of games that, you're just driving around and shooting things with, Doom-style weapons, don't usually let you fly really high up in the air and just get out of there.
It's like a restricted
I think
space.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the game feels good. I have not got a chance to just basically tried it when I was setting up a bunch of Let's Plays for people and stuff like that. So fired weapons, it feels great. So the just initial first impression of the game feels really good. I'm actually looking forward to playing through a little bit of the campaign.
Yeah, I got to dive more into it.
Yeah.
But a game I have been playing a lot more of that I played on my whole vacation was Katana Zero on Switch. And that game is awesome.
Nice.
Highly recommended. Anyone tried this one?
No, it looks great. I want to. It's on my wish list.
Oh, good. You've wish listed it.
Yeah.
You should just treat yourself.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow. It's Friday.
Just do it.
Mm. Treat yourself to a little Switch game. Do you guys know anything about the game? You know what it is?
Yeah, it looks great.
It's like, you know, it's like Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, I saw some of the artwork, but yeah, it's
mixed with elevator action.
Hmm. Are there birds in it?
I think not interactable birds, but there might be some birds flying around.
Yeah, and is there holes where the bird just like spawns infinitely and then kills you? That would be the best.
No, I don't think you have to worry about falling in pits. It is a one-hit kill situation.
We're making
you,
Ninja Gaiden jokes, but here's a real question. Yeah. Do you have red shoes?
I think you're a samurai, dressed in like samurai garb, so I think you wear like the wooden sort of clogs.
Yeah, because in elevator action you have red shoes.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Famously red.
What about in Elevator Action Returns? What color are you?
When did we look at that?
Recently in the
office. That was insane. Was that a TurboGrafx?
Elevator, it's an arcade game, and it's awesome. The random button took me there one day. You should check out some videos of
Elevator
Action.
It's got this like anime Blade Runner aesthetic.
It's like a mid-90s, like sort of like Akira art style.
Nice.
It doesn't even make sense that it would... But there's still elevators.
That seems awesome.
And really people, cool. When you get killed in that game, well, when you kill enemies and stuff, they have these like terrific animations. And like one is like the guy's catching on fire. It's like this like, you know, elaborate 12-frame like guy like getting on the ground like in a movie like from the 90s where they're like thrashing and stuff.
Flailing around.
There's always the man on fire running by in every action.
Yeah. Ah!
And they're on frame. They're in the frame for 2 seconds because then they're immediately put out.
They have to do that same arm waving thing.
Yeah. And the hero walks away in slow motion.
If you've played the original Elevator Action, it's a very early arcade game from the early 80s, and it seems very quaint today.
Yeah.
Mm. Elevator Action Returns, let me tell you two things about it. In the first level...
I'm so happy this is what this episode is about.
In the first level, as you're making your way down the building, the entire top half of the building blows off.
Severed.
Nice.
And the entire top half of the building is blown off, and then the bad guy shows up in a helicopter and laughs at you and flies off.
Naturally.
At the very beginning of level two, it's a new building... And some of the goons are like pacing back and forth, and one of them sees something out the window. So he's looking away from you, the player, out the window, like into the depth of your TV screen. Then he calls his friends over. They all gather around the window, and then they scatter and they run, and a helicopter flies straight into the building, crashes into the building, and you jump out of the helicopter and start shooting.
This is all in like 32-bit, like beautiful, like pixel art.
Right.
It's remarkable.
This seems Elevator great. Action Returns.
Where was I?
Exactly.
I know. It's so good.
All right.
Anyway, Katana Zero. It's kind of like that, and that's a 2D game set in sort of like office buildings where the bad guys are coming in and out of doors and everything. Nice. And the whole setup, it's like very short levels that are rarely larger than one screen, and you have to take everyone out without being hit yourself, basically. Mm.
But one hit kill.
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
Oof. No
health. Like the conceit, the whole idea of the game is you're trying to think how to get through killing everyone and make it to the next area.
Wow.
You're like making a plan, and then when you actually do it, you watch it unfold.
Because when you say Ninja Gaiden like the old NES days, my brain is thinking, how that is not possible to do that game without getting hit. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody who has.
The speedruns are great for that.
The speedruns are great, but when they do get hit, they use that as like an advantage to actually progress through the different parts of the game.
But you could probably do one screen at a time without getting hit, right?
Maybe.
It actually just scrolled from one screen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's more like what it's like. And you can slow down time and dash through lasers.
Oh, slow down time.
Yeah.
Fan favorite.
So if you can't play Elevator Action Returns tonight, I would recommend Katana Zero.
But why would you not?
But the other thing I wanted to say about Katana Zero is like I've said before, like I love like fake violence and I love gore. Gorehound, but even I was a little bit taken aback by how profane Katana Zero is. It's
really?
A profane and vulgar game, and I'm playing it on my Nintendo Switch, being like, I'm like doing a little pearl clutching, being like, oh my goodness gracious,
feels wrong to play that on Switch. You're like,
but very, very,
it's
very
more than like Hotline Miami.
I didn't play much Hotline Miami, and it's been years, so I'd have to revisit that.
It is similar to that, I imagine.
I think it has a similar sort of like synthwave 80s drive movie vibe.
Nice. Well, I mean, even Mortal Kombat 11 on the Switch feels really odd. I mean, it's crazy that they do it, but every time I watch those fatalities, I just can't not stomach them.
They should turn the blood to sweat.
I don't know if that would happen
keep
now.
Keep all the head tearing and all the rest.
Can you imagine? People would be irate now.
But if it was like an option, I think it'd be a fun little like.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. But the problem is, yeah, even when I'm playing the game, so I have played a little bit of Mortal Kombat 11. It's
on Switch?
Not on Switch. Playing here on the PS4. I can't watch the fatalities.
Really?
What?
Yeah, it's just too much for me. It's just out of this world.
I knew there's people out there like that. So
And a little bit squeamish about it. And I don't know why, because I didn't mind the previous version. There's always one or two fatalities. I think Noob Saibot was like, or like tore somebody in half by the legs. There's some crazy, terrible fatalities that just like they don't sit well with me. But
you know, have you been watching the latest Game of Thrones season?
No, and that's what. So my wife wants me to. Yeah,
there's like serious gore this season.
There is, and she's always
is
like,
worse
"Ooh,
than
hang on."
Anything before? I don't know.
Oh yeah, there's a few shots in the most recent episode of like lingering on someone getting like chopped in half.
Exactly.
The way that like it used to be more like you saw it, but it wasn't like full frame.
Yeah,
like leaning into it.
And I don't know what it
see
is.
A lot of sinew.
Yeah.
Sinew, okay.
That's see, I mean,
don't,
just...
Don't get to use that word too often.
just John Wick, actually. The third one's coming out.
I'm seeing it tomorrow night.
Yeah, nice. I'd love to see it. That's the kind of movie where I can watch somebody getting shot, like, 100, 200 times. And I think they said...
CJ. 201, though.
Well, in John Wick,
it's
they...
Too much.
Every man has his limits.
They have a counter. I think it was like 120-some shots or something like that, or deaths in John Wick 2. And I don't mind shooting, but like stabbings and beheadings and all that stuff, I don't know. Just never
stabbing
well
is much
me.
Worse than shooting.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Everyone
regardless.
Knows that.
Yeah, always. Just much more personal. And
Justin, you have a fear of being stabbed.
Who do yes.
I agree.
Good to tell the public.
Doesn't everyone?
No, yeah, I don't, exactly. Like, as I move about my day-to-day life, I'm not afraid of being stabbed.
I think stabbing seems really survivable and easy.
Oh, no way. To me, it seems like too visceral and personal.
I'm like,
and,
I got this. Just pull it out.
No. I would much rather take a bullet.
I would much rather
absolutely.
Be shot.
Absolutely. I mean, this is
the,
not
the bullets
something
that people use now, like, shred all your guts anyway.
Well,
and there's nothing to take out.
I'm not saying a shotgun. I don't want to take
a
shotgun.
A knife also shreds guts.
Yeah.
Much easier to remove a knife than a bullet, though.
Potentially. It's just...
It's got a handle.
Not potentially.
It's got a handle.
Maybe. It's just... anyways, how did we get on this? I think I did this actually with the
Mortal
Kombat.
What bugs me in movies is when people get stabbed in the stomach and they immediately fall over dead.
Yeah.
That's not how it would take a long time to bleed out from a stomach stabbing.
So that should make you more comfortable with stabbing.
Absolutely not. Not a chance.
Also, you're supposed to keep the knife in until you get to the
hospital. I've also heard that.
Would that be pleasant?
That was a courtesy. He's like, you know, just as a courtesy, if you remove the knife, you're going to die. It's like, okay, I'm just going to chill here with the knife, I guess. So
I guess it would feel weird if it like hit bones and stuff in your guts.
Sam, stop it. You let us know how John Wick is on the next episode. I am looking forward to it.
You're not going
to
see it before next Thursday?
Maybe I'll take my kids to it.
Well, John Wick is in Fortnite, which is like, what?
I saw that. It was bad enough that he already looked pretty close. They just made him look more Keanu Reeves-like enough so that you need to get this new John Wick that's in Fortnite.
Kids love Keanu Reeves.
Oh, God. We all love Keanu Reeves. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. But
have you had to explain Keanu Reeves to your kids?
Yeah, they kind of know, because I saw The Matrix with them. They're like, this Neo guy. And I was like, yes.
How to talk to your kids about Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, dude, he's the one.
We just rewatched The Matrix. It's on Netflix.
It's a perfect movie.
It had its anniversary.
The movie is 10 out of 10.
It's great.
It's a 10 out of 10
perfect
movie.
It really is.
It's a shame they only ever made one.
No, I've seen it.
Okay, Sam.
There's no flab on it. Every single scene is essential.
Yeah, it is really good. It's so good. Yeah, fantastic.
Anyway, Justin, what was the name of the game you've been playing?
I've been playing a Steam game called Rise to Ruins. I think it's been around for a while, for a couple of years, but it's sort of like it's experiencing a resurgence because it's having its run up to exiting early access. And it's half like village / town builder, like top down, where you're like, you know, building farms and stuff like that. But then the other half is tower defense. So it's great. You're like, you know, mining resources and building farms and building homes and upgrading things. But then you also have to like, you know, build towers and walls to keep the creeps out.
Naturally.
Creeps.
Yeah.
Very fun so far.
Sounds good. Cool. So it's about to leave early access?
I think so. I honestly, I don't know like too much about it. But yeah, I think even though it's from like 2016, it's finally exiting. It's finally like a real game.
Does it have animals?
I don't know. I killed a zombie baby. Does that count as an animal?
Maybe.
No.
You know?
No?
Saying no? if this is 20 questions and we said, are there animals in it? And but the game did have zombie babies in it.
I would have said no.
No.
Okay. We need to look at his face and make sure.
But remember before, you actually brought up, are humans animals?
No, I didn't bring that up.
I think it came up in
and
20
then
questions.
Maybe. Undead humans, are they still humans?
For sure, this would be a gimme. This would be one of those that gets retracted.
It was Justin that didn't think sharks are fish.
Yeah. I don't know why you had to bring that one back up.
Are you guys scared of sharks?
I was scared of sharks as a kid.
Yeah.
But I've
never immediately walked back. I was very, very, you know, generous with my apology on that one. Yeah, completely wrong.
I was probably more afraid of piranhas, though, as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I thought piranhas were going to be a much bigger problem in my life than quicksand than they ended up being.
Yeah, quicksand is also very scary.
Quicksand, always.
Yeah, well, that was a big issue back in the day. Right?
Quicksand, snakes. Well, maybe it's because of Pitfall. I remember playing Pitfall early on in like the Atari days.
I grew up in the desert in Phoenix and Tucson and lived there for over 20 years. Never saw quicksand. But also never thought about it.
Yeah.
Because it was like in the 80s when we really cared about quicksand. Yeah. That was the last time I cared.
Maybe there was more quicksand in the 80s.
Maybe. Yeah,
it's changed.
Have you ever been? So I've actually been from Nova Scotia where they have the highest tides in the world. I don't know if you guys have ever done something like this. And you can actually jump into what they call the basin where it's mud. And it's not quicksand, but it is almost like that, where you can go up to your neck in mud and you need somebody to pull you out. It's the craziest
that
feeling.
Why would you? Horrible.
You're saying that's like a dangerous thing that
it kind of is, but what happens
are
is.
Are you saying people do it for fun?
People do it for fun. They basically sell these boat tours where all of a sudden, and it's for real, when the tide goes all the way out, you watch the water descend and rise for about 40 feet in like the span of like a few minutes. It's crazy. And then the mud, you can get right up to your shoulders and you kind of need somebody to pull you out. It's
what
crazy.
If you're short? They don't know where the mud stops.
That's true.
That you're floating in the mud, or is there a ground?
No, like, the mud can, in theory, almost go down infinitely. So it's not quicksand, but it is one of those things where you could get stuck.
So the idea of, like, maybe infinite mud below me, it does make me a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. It is one of those weird things.
Are you on a rope?
No, they give you those kind of things. They have a boat, so you're wearing a life jacket and all the rest of that stuff. It's designed for you to go and float in the water.
Well, they just throw you a couple of milk bags.
Yeah, you float in the water, and then you... But yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think I have some photos of me just up to my neck in mud.
Did you do it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
No.
Is it terrifying in the moment? Absolutely. Is it a cool experience that I would do again? Absolutely.
Well, in Calistoga, California, you can get like mud baths and you get covered in mud.
Yeah.
It's
hot,
like steaming mud from, volcanic heat sources.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mud bath.
I hear that's unpleasant though. It's very heavy.
Yeah, it is. It is heavy.
Yeah. It's not
mud
like
scoop.
In the mud bath situation, it's not like you just sink into it easily. You kind of have to like work your way down into it. And they don't change the mud every time. It's the same mud everyone gets into naked. So not for me.
It's more hair than mud.
There's a mental vision.
Sam
probably didn't need
and CJ, guys, playing anything else to share?
Or can we move on? I finally got around to playing a lot of the new Yoshi game.
Oh, yeah. You've been playing that.
And I really like there's collectible sets in it, and I've always liked that about Yoshi's Island style games, right? Because you can play them over and over again, get the red coins, and survive the level and stuff. This one has that stuff's all really great, so I was like, I'm going to 100% this game, and I was really excited about it. But then I realized you have to do a bunch of other stuff to 100% it, which is like play the level and find like a bunch of little cutout stuff in the background. It's like find object stuff, and it's really boring, and I hate it.
Okay.
But have you guys seen the backwards play on that, where it's like they take a level and then you like they reverse it and you play through backwards and you find Poochies?
Yeah.
That's really cute.
Cool.
The game looks amazing.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. 1047 games. Is it Splitgate?
Splitgate.
Yeah.
You're talking,
heard of that?
Talking
yeah,
to
it's,
about that one.
It's one of these early access games right now, but I've got a chance to play it. It's really good. It's kind of like Halo Portal mixed. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
That's
but,
the Halo Portal game.
It's the Halo Portal game.
Is that the one that was originally called
Halo Portal
Wars or something?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
that may be a different.
As we go to the site, because I wanted to pull it out because I wasn't
Halo
sure.
Halo meets Portal, IGN.
Halo meets Portal, IGN. If you go to the site right now, that's what comes up.
That?
That's a good question.
Brandon.
Maybe Tom. I think Tom actually saw it pretty early last
year. Yeah, that seems like a Tom thing. Right?
Yeah,
that's also, that quote's funny because it's not like, it's great. It's just a descriptor of what
this is. What it is. But it is.
Is it just Portal? Why are we saying it's Halo meets? Is it because you can also kill things?
No, Halo's got a different style of shooting.
Yeah, and it's very kind of team, you know, dynamic, where a lot of even the feeling of it, mobility wise, feels similar. But then you have like snipers and rockets and shotguns. It's basically this Halo sandbox feel with portals in it. It's really well done though.
Why has there not been more portal based shooters?
This does seem weird. It seems like it could be one of those things that maybe takes off. But there's definitely a different side of it where this BR trend is here, and I don't know. I mean, I think it's a really well done game. I'm interested to see if people kind of like play it long term the way they've been playing a lot of these battle royale games. So
what battle royales do you think will be announced at E3? Battles Royale.
Angry Bird.
I don't know.
Did the Battlefield 5 BR ever come out?
Yeah, it did.
That's out.
Tanked. Yeah, it's just a fire. I think it was Firestorm or something like that.
So that, but, and then I was just talking a bit briefly about disappointments from that we were excited about E3 last year, and that's another one.
Yeah,
what were you talking about? Anthem, and then Elder Scrolls Blades.
Yeah,
because it just came out, and it's like where?
Yeah, what happened?
Dude, I play Blades, and I play a lot of those trashy mobile games, and Blades is not good.
Yeah.
It's a bit bummer. It's beautiful.
Do phones handle it? Like, it looks good, right?
It's unbelievable that it's running on your phone. It gives you that feeling of like the first time you saw Infinity Blade and you're like, how is this possible?
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know.
And I don't know if we've reached a saturation level, but Halo or, you know, even Destiny, I always think that they might kind of head in that direction just because it feels naturally like those games would fit there. But
there should be a portal based battle royale game.
That'd be cool.
Did you guys watch our first episode of Nightmares? The Dreams show.
No.
So there's a thing.
Dreams for PS4.
Yeah, Dreams for PS4. People have remade their favorite games and Dreams because that's just what people do.
Okay, I did see that.
So like, it's really funny. Like the funniest thing is like seeing these Sonic the Hedgehogs that are just like completely warped and crazy. Yeah. Like they just so off model. Like the movie is so much more accurate. they had recent episode, they had a Skyrim one, and it's so amazing. And it's you know, a bunch of like mannequins in that cart at the beginning of Skyrim. You know, like, first of all, that's not the fun part of Skyrim, right? Like, let's just get that out of the way.
Well, that cart's a total meme.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and so it's that. And then it's the sound from Skyrim, like, recorded on a phone. And then played in PlayStation. And it's terrible.
Oh, man. I gotta see it. I saw the Mario and Zelda ones.
It's a true nightmare.
Yeah.
The Mario one, he runs like such a goof.
It's so weird.
Yeah, his hands are just like spinning like a...
But he's got a triple jump.
Like the tail of a helicopter.
Yeah, it looks odd, like he's going to break in half. Yeah.
Did you see the comments?
Check out Nightmares on IGN.
Did you see the comments from people saying we should take the video down because it's making Dreams look bad?
Well, you know what? They have a good point, but we're not going
to
take the video.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, that's what it's for.
It's not our responsibility to make Dreams look good.
You're making it look like people just make garbage in Dreams. Yes. That's what people are going to do with Dreams.
Look, that can also happen in addition to the things you're excited about.
Yeah. I think it's just the recreation of the things you already know. It's like, you know, again,
it's like you're making the internet look
Sonic.
Bad. Well.
Okay. Super Mario Maker 2. We saw the Direct yesterday, and I think it put to bed any worries for me that this was just a port of Super Mario Maker.
It looks so cool.
Yeah. They added so much to it. I almost wonder if it's going to be, if it's they're making it like too complicated for most people.
They pulled this weird Jedi mind trick on me for Super Mario Maker. It's like they have every object and every theme from every Mario game. How did they do this?
Yeah.
And the sequel comes out, and they're like, no. Like, we added slopes. And I'm like, oh, yeah. There was no slopes. And like they added so much more, like all the stuff that I didn't realize was missing, but was. It looks really cool.
Can't wait.
I'm very impressed.
I'm on board. I'm going to play it.
In fact, it's on Switch. Yeah, loving that.
Were you there when Lucy and I were grumbling about this?
About what?
I was like, I just want someone else to make my Mario levels.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then she said, can't Nintendo just make my Mario levels? And I was like, that's how I feel.
Exactly.
That's exactly how I feel. Can Nintendo just make them?
It is coming with...
And I love that. That was what I was most excited about.
A story mode.
Yeah.
Which sounds really cool.
That's super cool.
The thing with Dreams and actually Mario Maker and all these games is... some of them have really, really good curator tools, like upvoting or downvoting or like staff curated. Some of them have really bad ones. But like... it can't be an afterthought. Like, that has to be foundational to the entire experience of your platform. Like, if I can't immediately hop into and play the best user-generated Mario Maker levels, like, they've kind of screwed up. Like,
I have, like, a weird authenticity problem where I don't care about even user ones that are good. I just don't care. Well, if it's a developer I care about or specifically Nintendo, then I care.
Well, yeah, Mario Maker shifted into these incredibly intricate and so cool, like, puzzle box levels that I've watched, like, YouTube videos on, how they were built and how they were made, and that's amazing and that's awesome, but, like, the community so quickly moved away from people making Mario levels that actually feel like Mario levels. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah, I
want someone to just, like, the Mario give me more levels that feel like, you know, World 5 in Super Mario World. Well, that might be the Haunted Forest, but World 4 then. Whatever. Yeah. You get my point.
So do the math here.
You want the categories.
We got Dinosaur.
Dinosaur Island.
Donut Island, Plains.
Yeah.
Vanilla Dome.
Yeah.
The Butter Bridge.
Yeah, but does that count as a world?
Well, it has like the part before it and the part after. It has a boss level.
Yeah. Okay. It does have a castle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's the
forest.
Forest. Solution.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that's five.
So not ones that feel like the forest.
But if you go to Star World, you just bypass all that.
Yes. Yeah, so,
spoilers. Jeez.
Like every Mario Maker level feels like Star World.
Yeah.
Where I want it to feel more like Donut Plains.
Yeah.
You're saying like the levels like tubular and groovy in Star World.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like too mixed.
The super hard ones. Yeah. There needs to be some kind of curated tools too, because I thought you were going to mention this. Basically, the Rube Goldberg sort of like, hey, this is every level that's upvoted. That needs to be its own category. Yeah. So they need to potentially have some way to curate that has
I was very excited to see them have filtering on where, like, show me levels tuned for multiplayer, levels tuned for this. So it's like, if levels like, I don't know, like, give me levels that are, like, not that hard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, give me levels that are easier and, like, I'll just run through them, have a good time.
Yeah. Part of the problem with so many user-made levels for the first one is that they just played themselves.
Yep. Yes.
And now there's actually, like, a tag for that, so you can avoid those if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's also a tag for speedrunning, which is a little interesting because, I mean, you can just speedrun anything, right? Like, you don't need to say, this one's for speedrunning.
Yeah. I suppose you could optimize for it in specific ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, a no auto-scroller stage would be a speedrunning stage, for example.
Yeah, if there's a way. And I love watching the speedruns, especially when people get into, like, glitching things. And I don't know if that happens often in Mario
Happens Maker. In Donkey Kong.
Does. I'm trying to think, though, if there's other levels where that...
Mario had glitches on, like, leaping off of pixels in the wall.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That, I think Super Mario Brothers especially is, like, that's the earliest speedrun game I ever saw people take apart.
Yeah.
And it was, like, always that. It's like you lodge yourself into, like, the
frames.
Halfway up of pipes and jump up and over it.
It's insane.
And,
like, to clarify, I don't think I don't only want to play, like, easy user-made levels, but, like, you know, the hidden blocks and, like, the, you know, just the tricky, like, the tricks and the videos that are more fun to watch than play is, like, I don't know, like, I want to have an option to just, like, give me levels that feel like Nintendo made levels.
Yeah. And then they just put that race car in there.
Yeah, there's a race car. There's some ninjas flying around.
Yeah. Watching kids play that game, honestly, I still have the Wii U version, and they play it all the time. I can't actually wait for them to start making their own levels. There's a part of them that thinks design, and when you watch a child create something, like, it is super cool to just understand why they do certain things. And then, of course, they end up doing, hey, check it out. I put, like, three Bowsers or something like that with all these fireballs. I'm like, how do you get past it? They're like, there's a secret mushroom or a secret, like, acorn here. And I'm like, well, thank you. Yeah. But, they like trolley levels.
It came out too late on 3DS for me to truly appreciate the portable version of it.
True.
So excited just to have a portable Mario game.
Absolutely.
Any sort.
Yep.
An offline play it has. You can, like, download stuff.
Was it the first one that introduced tall, skinny Mario?
Oh, yeah.
That Nightmare Man?
Yeah, that's right. I don't know.
Mario Maker?
I still love – I'm not sick of Nintendo's presentation style for their directs yet. Like, they're so wholesome.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just like, look, Mario has a car now. And it's, like, just very cute and very wholesome and, like, so straightforward. It's really great. Although what was not straightforward was how multiplayer works. That is incredibly confusing. Like, do you need to have, like...
I think you need four.
Four switches and four copies of the game, but, like, what about online play? And, like, but they only mention that in the context of online play, and I'm like, what about local multiplayer? Like, it's very unclear to me how it actually works.
I'm not a current subscriber of Nintendo Online.
Same.
But for an extra $10, you get a year subscription with Mario Maker. That's pretty good.
So I don't subscribe to Nintendo Online. It's actually unclear to me what portions of it require Nintendo Online and what portions don't.
Yeah.
Can I browse and download levels if I don't have Nintendo Online?
I don't think you can do any of that now that that Nintendo Online exists.
Or is Nintendo Online only for, like, the co-op and competitive multiplayer? This is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying, like, those answers don't
exist.
Because,
like, DLC, you can still get other games. Yeah.
Like those answers may be clearly answered some FAQ or something, but it's just, you know, it's just a little bit more complicated now.
Anyway, Mario Maker 2. looks huge. Does. They added a bunch of stuff to it. Some of my favorite things they added are Dry Bones Shell. Mm-hmm. You, Mario Can Play Dead.
That was cool.
Co-op level creation, the nighttime levels that changed like the
that
rules.
That was really neat.
The
yeah.
rules.
But it's so bizarre. There's like, a specific one for like desert and yeah. forest and everything.
And that they're not just nighttime. Like it's not a palette swap. Each one changes. Yeah. Like if you want to have a windy level or have this. Like it's almost odd to even call it nighttime. Like it should just be called alternate mode
yeah.
or something,
yeah, something like that.
But it's based on the unhappy sun, which I thought was
like, my favorite. Yeah. And like upside down gravity, low gravity.
That's cool.
So yeah. cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
In other Nintendo news.
I don't want to guess.
The Nintendo Switch.
I thought you said it was Mystical Ninja.
It sounded like it, but I know it's not.
It's
I don't know
the Sega CD version of Mortal Kombat.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Okay. I wouldn't guess Sega CD.
It's got that Redbook
yeah,
audio.
Yeah, that's right.
The Nintendo Switch has now outsold the PlayStation 4 in Japan.
Wow.
And it's good. 3 years younger than the PS4?
Yeah, holy cow.
That's incredible.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The PS4 has sold just over 8 million units, and the Switch has sold 8.13 million units.
I mean, it's a little bit interesting that, you know, Sony and Nintendo are Japanese-made companies, but the bulk of their business happens outside of Japan still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
PlayStation's huge in Europe, and I know that it really, really helps that the United States numbers are big, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just worldwide.
Portable gaming is so much more important in Japan.
Yeah.
It really, like, the whole gaming community has really shifted to, like, portable. On the
yeah, game. But the Switch is not as competent at that as the Vita even or the 3DS
right.
because of its like
which is why,
near field stuff and communication.
Which is why even though the Switch is doing really well and is now installed the PS4, not doing as well as the 3DS mm-hmm. or the PSP was.
Right.
But that's probably the pressure to get out the Monster Hunters and the Pokemons.
And yeah. And a cost as well too. I mean, how many models of the 3DS now do they have and what's the price of it? I think you get a 3DS now for like $70.
Free.
$79. More or less.
They're paying you to take them.
They are. You can get a game now with it where you're just like, oh, I'm just going to buy a 3DS all the time. It's $20 more for a 3DS than it would be to buy an actual game.
Yeah.
That's pretty cheap.
Anyway, thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
From Nintendo Switch in Japan.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello.
course, Mega Man.
Yeah. Genesis Mega Man?
Genesis, like exactly.
That was the Wily Wars.
Oh, weird. Man, that is weird.
I can't wait to hear all that music.
But see, those are the kind of things. You can tell that's a Genesis sound. It is not like a Super Nintendo.
You always say that. I'm not as good as you.
No, that's you can tell. You can tell, Sam.
We were talking about Wily Wars because it's announced to be included in the Sega Genesis Mini.
Mm.
We got the full lineup, right? The final 10 games?
No, we're still waiting on the final 10.
Got
we
it.
Know 30 of them. And the lineup is amazing, by the way. Mm. It's an incredible lineup. So much.
It's amazing and Altered Beast.
I like Altered Beast.
You don't like Altered Beast.
I don't think it's necessarily Altered Beast, fun to play.
Good. You remember Altered Beast.
No. Stop that,
I played
Sam.
It just
I'm with David on
last
that.
Year.
I like Altered Beast.
It's got Sonic Spinball in it.
Yeah.
It's a guilty pleasure for me.
Robotnik's Meme Beam Machine is in there. But in Wily Wars, it's significant because, as Sam reminded me today, it was only released via the Sega Channel here in North America.
Yeah.
Mm. The online... Bizarre.
My cousin had that.
Really?
Yeah, but yeah, and it's a really cool game, a remake of the first three. I've never played it in any emulated form or anything, so I can't wait. I probably play it before it comes out in this, but I've always been curious, and for some reason I never got around to it.
I really love how these classic consoles are sort of moving in this trend of, like, you know, we're going to give, like, 75% of it's going to be the games that you know and love and want. Like, another 15% of it is going to be, like, rarity, like, you know, like Star Fox 2 you know, Mega Man, like, stuff that you just couldn't or was very, very hard to find.
Yeah.
And then it's usually 10%.
This should all be in an eShop, though.
They should all.
Should be.
Yeah.
It belongs in an eShop.
Look at all those games on the back. So good.
Like I said at the top of the show, I was sent the Volume 2 of the SNES Omnibus by Brett Weiss. I think we... flipped through the first one sometime last year. A game that I've been playing recently that I wanted to look up the entry for is Tetris Attack.
Dude, so good.
So good. Not a Tetris game.
No.
In any shape or form.
No.
There are so many games that start with Super. Dude. It's
a lot.
Let's go to the first game that starts
see
with
how
Super.
Thick it is.
Here we go. Super Adventure Island.
There was a lot of 64s, right, too.
So there's Super Adventure Island.
That's the first
one. Yeah, I was going to say, when did that stop? They did it with Wii.
Super
they did
Putty.
It with Wii U. I feel like it actually just stopped in the Switch generation. Yeah. They tried with 1-2 Switch, and then we got a lot of...
Super Troll Islands is really good.
Super Mario...
okay. This Super Widget. This is how much of the book is
and
just Super games.
What's
a lot
the page
of Supers.
Count?
So...
So it goes from page.
There aren't pages. There aren't page numbers.
There's no page numbers?
Yeah, no.
Send it back.
There's a lot of pages.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pages 230 to 313.
Jeez.
We're good now.
So 83 Super games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Tetris Attack is not a Tetris game. It is Puzzled Upon or Pokemon Puzzle.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
It says, the entry here for Tetris Attack says, unlike most Tetris sequels, which feature falling objects, Tetris Attack has colorful square panels. Blah, 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 blah.
They
don't seem too bothered by it. No, they come from the bottom. Well, garbage will fall from your opponent if you're playing multiplayer.
And it's big gray blocks and it's really scary. I love this game how it has a Yoshi's Island theme. It's so
cool.
It's
a Yoshi game. It's a Tetris
Attack.
Call it Tetris
Yoshi's
Attack.
Yoshi's Island themed.
Not a Tetris game. Is a Yoshi game.
Yep.
It's weird.
Yeah, and it has the theme is like the weird crayon drawings from Yoshi's Island, and it has the enemies from Yoshi's Island, which are like kind of obscure too. And you can play as them.
Tetris has lots of weird stuff like that. Like, I just saw the page across from Tetris Attack was Tetris 2.
Yep.
Like,
that also came
how bold
on Super Nintendo
to name your game that.
2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played a lot of that too.
Also?
It has like weird, awful Tetris shapes that I just hate.
Really?
But I've never played Hatris.
Mm. There's Hatris,
Tetrisphere.
There's Weltris.
Weltris. And Wordtris on Super Nintendo also.
See, I was just a big Tetris.
Just a Wordtris?
Just a regular Tetris. Are you theme A or theme B, though, in Tetris? That's the biggest question when you get a chance to play. The music. You could select the music.
Okay, so the Game Boy game has three themes.
Yeah, it does.
Those are my favorite ones. And I like the third one.
Okay. When I was little, when I was like 5 years old, you know, we got an NES. We got Tetris for our Nintendo. When I was a little kid, I didn't understand it. And like, in hindsight, it's so weird that it's Russian. And it is clearly the Kremlin. But then the rocket ship just like hastily has like USA scribbled on it.
It does?
Yeah. Instead of being a Soviet rocket, the rocket just says USA for the localized
space
race. And it's insane. And then there's Samus playing a cello. And like,
so what is Wordtris? What's going on here?
Wordtris combines the falling block action of Tetris with the strategic wordplay of a board game like Boggle or Scrabble.
What are these screenshots?
there's like, yeah, your
photo.
It's like circus themed, I think. And then the ad, the old ad, magazine ad says, if you thought Tetris was fun, look what we did to WordTress.
Look at Wolverine, exactly. Adamantium what? Rage.
Yeah, Wolverine, Adamantium Rage.
WordTress.
Was there a more popular comic book character on the planet at the time that that game came out?
Yeah, it says 94.
Well, to this day.
So when the very first sound you hear, and this is true, in Wolverine, Adamantium Rage, the very first sound you hear is a really bad sample of like a DJ record scratch when we're like, dude, Wolverine. And that's the text tone on my phone.
Oh, nice.
Wolverine.
Okay, I got to hear that after. That was such a good game.
Randomly, Riddick Bowe Boxing.
Sure.
Rex Ronan, Experimental Surgeon. What is this game?
I don't know what that game is.
Never heard of it.
This is a real game.
That's what I really, really like, this omnibus. But
you throw one fake thing in so people don't copy it.
Exactly. Random.
I remember having this problem with Volume 1 was like The Legend of Zelda, 2 pages. Then you get Riddick Bowe Boxing, 1 page. And it's like, okay, well.
As Rex Ronan, you must shrink yourself down to near microscopic size and enter the body of Jake Westborough. Including his mouth, trachea, lungs, bronchial tubes, arteries, heart, and brain.
So it's a
interesting.
It's an inner space type game.
He's been a smoker since he was 15.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to look this up.
Metagame
called
there.
Rex Ronan. I'm going to see how much.
Experimental Surgeon.
I've never seen this game.
What's the gameplay?
Like, what's it? How does it play?
It's
like,
a running gun.
Is it a platformer?
It says running gun.
Running gun.
Yeah.
What are you gunning? Germs?
Plaque.
Good plaque.
Exactly.
In all of its
clearing the blood cells.
In all of its many forms.
Yeah. There's a game called SOS. Never heard of it. From Vic Tokai, it looks like you are on a ship.
Nope.
There's a game called Soul Blazer.
Soul Blazer. I remember that. Yeah. I don't think I played it.
If this covers games N through Z, what do we think is the first entry?
N?
Yeah.
NBA.
I don't know. So
NBA Jam.
NBA Jam
is probably one of them. That's on the back there.
Yes.
I'm trying to think what else there could be.
All right. Rex Ronan prices are...
Natsume Championship Wrestling.
Sure.
But NBA All-Star Challenge is number 2.
Oh, play a lot of that.
You can get a copy of Rex Ronan for $48. Buy it now.
Jeez.
$48.
Buy. Not bad.
Natsume Championship Wrestling. What do we think is the final entry?
Z. Wasn't there a game called...
Oh, Zizix? Zoop?
Zoop.
Yeah, Zoop.
I was going to say Zool, but it's Zoop.
I'm going to guess Zoop. Wow, they have a bunch of... Yeah, Zool and then Zoop.
There it is.
Is that really the last
Zool,
one?
Zool, Ninja, or whatever?
Zool is Ninja of the Nth Dimension, and then there's Zoop. What is Zoop?
There is Zool.
There it is.
What isn't Zoop, Damon?
Cosmic Arc. Zoop. It's described as Cosmic Arc meets Tetris.
Okay, that's a good 20 questions question. Does this game have a Cosmic Arc in it?
Look how colorful it is.
You can't do X if no one knows the first thing.
Did this game come out before or after Zoop? Could be a really good moment for us.
Yeah.
What year did Zoop come out?
I'm not going to open up the volume again.
Okay. I'll just go on my phone.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi.
What's up? Time. Okay, yeah. This is Elliot in St. Louis, Missouri. He says, longtime listener, first-time emailer. You guys do a great job with the show each week. Thank you for the time and personality you put into it and make it so enjoyable to listen to. I've never played a Castlevania game, but I'm buying the collection coming out on Switch this week. Reminder that the Castlevania collection is out this week. I'm a filthy casual when it comes to games, and I prefer gaming to be more relaxing than challenging. Mm-hmm. I tried Hollow Knight, but after 20 hours of constant death, I stopped playing.
Oh.
I'm loving SteamWorld Dig 2 at the moment. Amazing game. Mm-hmm. Which game in the collection, the Castlevania collection, do the Omega Cops think I should start with? I've heard number 4 for the SNES is the best one.
No.
So,
I enjoy this collection.
I was going to say.
Every game in that collection is punishing.
Yeah.
Castlevania is a hard series, and I think it got easier with Metroidvania.
But the Metroidvania let you level up. Like you always have that escape valve.
You could just grind.
Even like Dark Souls, like you can grind it out if you want.
So the answer is 3.
This collection is all the games before Symphony of the Night.
Right.
Yeah. 3 is the most accessible and fun.
You think so? More than 4, you think?
Yeah, because you can, and the characters are really fun in it and stuff.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing that it's fun.
I don't think 4 is, I don't like 4.
The only other thing is that this collection includes Bloodlines, the Sega Genesis game, and I think that is a little bit one of the easier ones.
Really?
I think, yeah.
Yeah,
it's also the first uncensored Castlevania, so you get to see blood in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Owned that and still I haven't played it in a long time.
I mean, I love the music from the Castlevania games. Yeah, the first two are just so punishing. They're not Ninja Gaiden-esque, but yeah. Fallen holes, die.
Or it's really hard too.
Yeah, they're all might hard, but
it's hard.
Yeah.
It might be harder because you can't control your jump.
Definitely. Yeah, you're committed once you're in the air, and the amount of times that you hit somebody, like it's frustrating. If he's having a problem with Shovel Knight, I mean, I don't know. Or Hollow Knight, sorry. I don't know which one you recommend.
Hollow Knight's also fairly hard. It's pretty punishing. Does this remake have any of the modern, you know, does it have rewind or save states or anything like that? I haven't heard about.
In three, you can enter the code help me for your name, and then you get 10 lives.
Well, there you go.
Oh, that's right.
What about Konami code?
No, none of the Castlevanias have Konami code. Castlevania 1 is fantastic.
It's really fun.
Yeah. I have it in a PlayChoice cabinet, and I play it all the time in that. And I can't really get past Grim Reaper unless I'm having like the best day of my life. But like getting to and through Frankenstein is like some of the best gameplay of the 1980s, easily. Yeah. And it's the best music.
Yeah, music's
amazing. Unreal. Music.
It's really fun. Like it's very fun. And like all the characters and everything are like so great, like design. They're just great designs, and they look really cool, and it's just awesome. I love seeing the clock tower in the background, and you get closer to it, and there's a map.
Yeah, I love the map.
It's amazing.
Towards the clock tower.
Yeah,
everyone talks about the map, and I've even talked about how the map makes you feel like you go on a journey. But they also do that stuff with like the parallax and the backgrounds to really make you feel like you're traveling from place to place.
Yeah,
and then two is just so
bad. I don't know. That's mean.
It's just like convoluted and like mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It's, it's a real attempt at making a Metroid Castlevania game from that time. I mean, that's really cool, but there's just not enough explanation or like even memory on the cartridge to make that game work.
Yeah. You could get deep into it if you follow a guide online.
Yeah,
it has a really cool vibe to it. I think the Horrible Night for a Curse, like day-night cycle is really neat. The towns that become empty and haunted are really cool, and there's great enemies and stuff in it still. So.
Two may actually not be that hard if you follow a FAQ and just follow a walkthrough.
Yeah. Except, fortunately, we just tried that, and we couldn't get through what we wanted to.
Yeah,
we couldn't get to Dracula.
We tried to use a guide to skip straight to Dracula. Yeah. But I mean, like, if you just follow this, I don't think mechanically it's actually that hard.
But I mean, games were designed to be very punishing back then. It was not like...
Yeah, it's because the game was like 25 minutes and they had to make it last.
Exactly. And so he's talking about enjoying. It's like, you don't feel that with many Nintendo games. I mean, you obviously enjoy them, but they are punishing. Like, a lot of games in general in that era were just super punishing.
But playing Simon's Quest with a guide would actually be the most enjoyable experience.
Yeah,
probably. If you're that type of gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Yeah. Three is a refinement of the first one. An improvement, I think.
Great character choosing, really good music, and then like just a little bit of fairness added to it because they had just had a couple games to design before under their belts.
I think 4 is really good too. I don't know why you seem a little down on 4, but that's the...
Yeah, I never liked
Super Castlevania 4.
Yeah.
Also very cool music.
I don't think it looks as good as some of the other ones. And
really?
It has this weird pastelness to it.
It was an early SNES game.
Yeah.
It plays a lot like Castlevania 1.
It might have been a launch SNES game.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I've played them all. Yeah. I can't remember if I've beaten that game actually. But
cool mode 7 effects.
Yeah.
And the whip is really neat, how you can like hold it out and it like...
Yeah, like tangles and kind of
move it around.
Yeah.
And it has, you know, Indiana Jones style swinging.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, maybe you should start with Kid Dracula because that's on this selection
too. Probably amazing.
And I'm not saying that in a judgy mean way. I mean, that was never released in the US.
Skip the Game Boy ones.
I think it's going to be really cute. The Game Boys are just kind of like a novelty in there.
Such free orchestration.
Mega Man continue music sounds on Sega Genesis.
Yep.
That brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Malcolm Irons in Spring, Texas. It says, "Hey, I just wanted to say I love what you all do and all the hard work you put in at IGN." Thanks, Malcolm. With that, let the questioning begin.
Oh, goodness.
Could this game have been in Volume 1 or Volume 2 of the SNES Omnibus?
No.
Oh, dang.
That would have been a good one.
That was a little Hail Mary.
That would have been a good one. Obstacle-based medium? Is it?
You got to answer. Yeah, ask it in a form of question.
Yeah, you can't just say things.
Would this game have been initially released on an optical-based medium?
Yes.
All
right. Okay. Sam, go ahead.
Was this game made in Japan?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Is this game developer still around?
In a way.
Ooh, nice. Oh.
Actually,
cutting through it.
Wait a minute. The developer is still around. Yes. That's a hard yes. Sorry.
Hard yes. Okay. Cool.
So it's like a publisher-developer sort of split here somehow that we got to exploit.
Yeah.
Is this a Nintendo or a PlayStation?
No, it can't be.
Franchise. Maybe PlayStation?
I don't think it's either. I don't know. You can ask whatever you want.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Just optical-based media.
Was this a console exclusive?
Yes.
Ooh.
There we go.
I like that.
That's good.
That's five.
That's really good.
Yeah.
We're doing great.
Not going to get to that boss music.
Yeah. I'm gonna be a little bit more generic.
What about yeah, go ahead.
You know, I'm just thinking like to isolate I always like
Sony,
getting
Nintendo, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Be good to get.
Yeah. All right. Just want me to ask direct?
Ask whatever you want.
All right. Would this have appeared on a Sony console?
No.
Same question, Nintendo.
No.
Oh no.
Oof, okay.
This is good though.
Did this appear on a Sega console?
No.
Could be Blue Dragon.
It's a console, though.
But it's a Nintendo-made game on an Japanese-made game on an optical medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it eliminated PlayStation, Nintendo.
Okay. I mean, did it appear on an Xbox console?
Yes.
What?
Japanese Xbox exclusive.
There's not many of those.
Choo-choo!
Wow. Oh. Okay.
Could be Blue Dragon.
You think?
Could be.
I mean, so he's mentioned publisher... Tecmo kind of changed into Tecmo Koei or whatever
as well, too.
And Ninja Gaiden is, which I'm playing Ninja Gaiden 2 right now on Xbox 360 because it's just backwards compatible.
Mm-hmm.
So, is
it helpful to know if it's part of a franchise?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it part of a franchise?
Yes. That's 10.
It could be Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
Could be.
That's very likely. Yeah. Was this on the original Xbox?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's not Blue Dragon.
You slicing up ninjas in this game?
Yes.
Okay, let's just do it. We don't know if it's black or not.
Because it's on the
OG Xbox. Did you
confirm it's on the OG Xbox?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
is there really only the one?
No, there was two. There was original Ninja Gaiden and Ninja Gaiden Black. So there was two that was released for OG Xbox because Black was an updated version.
Yeah. I don't know if Damon will know the difference.
Oh yeah, he will because they will have said it in the title.
Because you could say like, are there like giant fish in a river in this?
No, I mean. You're just asking if it has the word black in the title.
It's a cheat.
I know, but...
Is this the...
upgrade?
Yes. Yeah. Is this an upgrade of the actual game?
No.
Yeah.
Well, then it's...
Damon wouldn't do us dirty like that, guys.
Okay. We
know what the game is. Well, just ask
I
the
name. No, no, just 15.
Okay, so what are we at right now?
13.
That's 13.
We should ask...
But we could be really wrong. No.
We could be.
It have a character named Ryu in it.
That's right. Ask that. That was the question.
Does it have a character named Ryu in it?
Yes.
All right, is it Ninja Gaiden?
It is Ninja Gaiden.
There it is. Nice.
Nicely job.
When you asked me what games we played, I actually just finished playing
through... Yeah, we were just talking about
this. Ninja Gaiden 2 with Mitchell Salzman, actually, nice. And we just did our a deathless run attempt. We beat the first Ninja Gaiden attempt. We're still filming it. We beat the first Ninja Gaiden Black on OG Xbox. No deaths.
Wow.
But then Ninja Gaiden actually was released first, and then they did a remake of it called Black about a year after.
I feel like in the era of like Dark Souls and Sekiro, like Ninja Gaiden is overdue for a resurrection. Due,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, so Team Ninja is still around. Yeah. They just made Dead or Alive, right?
Yeah,
so,
made a Metroid game. Yeah.
Yes, but they were purchased at the time. Yeah, so now it's like Team Ninja, like Tecmo Koei or whatever.
Now it's probably Tecmo.
Yeah, and so that was the question I was leaning into at first, but then when we got into like Ryu Hayabusa, I was like, okay.
Would Microsoft still publish it?
Microsoft didn't publish that. It was Tecmo.
It was Tecmo.
At the time.
Yeah.
But it was exclusive for just some reason.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's where I was like, there's no way this could be Ninja Gaiden. I wanted to ask that at like question five, but then I was like, I'm just going to keep going. But playing that. So that is probably one of my top three favorite Xbox games of all time, actually.
Crimson Skies for me.
Crimson Skies is probably top five.
I can't even name three Xbox games.
Oh, stop that, Sam.
Blinks the time.
Halo 2. Halo 2 was another one, Sam, for you.
Fusion Frenzy. Was Yaiba Ninja Gaiden Z the last Ninja Gaiden game?
Yes.
Nobody knows.
I think that's kind of sad. Yeah, Ninja Gaiden 3, they did the same thing. They'll release it, and then often what happens is they release updates for the other console. So it's like Ninja Gaiden 2, Sigma for PlayStation, mm-hmm. and then Ninja Gaiden 3, and then Razor's Edge for Wii and PlayStation. So mm-hmm. they've always had the Xbox One usually launch first, and then they release later ones updated on the other consoles. But we've been waiting for Ninja Gaiden 4. And it sucks because...
That must have been tough because there was only 300 total sales of Xboxes in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so it was probably to that team.
So I did... It was an exclusive at the time, which showcased a lot of Xboxes,
prowess and hardware abilities, because that game ran at 60 frames and it was amazing and it launched. But
that's what we talk about this on Scoop a lot about how, you know, now that those consoles are in the distant past, it's like, you know, PS2 and Xbox are like pretty equivalent. But like at the time when it was the war, like the console war, the Xbox was clearly like the more powerful console.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it still wasn't enough to like, you know, shift it into first place.
Yeah. And it was one of those ones that featured online, had Master Ninja Tournament. It was downloaded assets and all the rest of that stuff. That was one of those first, you didn't pay anything for it. It was just a free just update for the game prior to them launching like an update.
What was the online gameplay?
It was a combination of like DLC, so you got a new weapon in the second version of it. And then they actually did a Master Ninja Tournament, which I competed in. So they basically had you go for karma score and stuff like that.
I thought it was timed. I mean, you remember better.
It was arcade style.
Yeah, it was a combination of time and karma and all that. So I ranked in the top 9 for the world at first when I did it. And then they had you compete against other nations. And I came 2nd in Canada.
Whoa.
And had I have came first, I would have went over to Japan and actually played it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was how I got to IGN in the first E3 of 2006. I basically put that on my quote demo reel for Fran to check
out. That's actually a really cool anecdote and story. I think it's interesting that you described coming in 9th as top 9.
Well, because at the time, like, there was only 9 people who completed it. I completed it fastest, so I have a save of me being in 9th spot out of like, there's probably 4,000 or 5,000 people who competed. But when you say it that way, it doesn't. But I met Itagaki the year after doing an interview with him prior to launching Ninja Gaiden 2. And it was super cool. Yeah, he's like, thank you very much for playing the game and being in the Master Ninja Tournament.
Did he put his fingers down your throat?
Wow. I don't remember that.
There was a scandal a number of years ago.
A lot of scandals in that era.
Thank you for the suggestion. Malcolm Irons from Spring, Texas. If
thank
you have your
you.
Own 20 questions, suggestions, send them to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. And that is all the scoops that we have for you this week.
13 questions.
Well, 14. 14.
Well, 14. Yeah. Okay, 14. We did it.
Yeah,
that was the mission.
Yeah,
so now you don't get to hear the boss fight music.
What is it, though?
No.
Oh!
You have to decide whether you want to win or hear the boss fight music.
That's right.
15 questions next time. We got to just get to 15.
And you didn't get to change the color of the background.
I was ready to go red.
Yeah. But that's because we did something more important. We won 20 questions.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that's the focus.
That's the most important thing.
That's the most important thing.
Really. Thank you, CJ. Thank you, Justin.
Thanks,
thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Everybody, check out Elevator Action Returns. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
It's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.